feel so right. Didn't get much sleep last night. Freight train rattled through my head. Whistle blowing, love is dead. Heart attack, my fear and doubt. Won't be long till the truth comes out. First impression never lies. Love is bonds they hold so fast. Restless future burning bright. Past is holding on so tight. Never heard the one in bed.
I just wanna wish you well.
Welcome to another episode of Robbie's Modern Life. My name is Robbie Armfield. The episode will commence today with a reading of Kurt Vonnegut's short story, Harrison Bergeron. And without further ado, here it is.
The year was 2081, and everybody was finally equal. They weren't only equal before God and the law, they were equal every which way. Nobody was smarter than anybody else. Nobody was better looking than anybody else. Nobody was stronger or quicker than anybody else. All this equality was due to the 211th, 212th, and 213th Amendments to the Constitution, and to the unceasing vigilance of agents of the United States Handicapper General. Some things about living still weren't quite right, though. April, for instance, still drove people crazy by not being springtime. And it was in that clammy month that the HG men took George and Hazel Bergeron's 14-year-old son Harrison away. It was tragic, all right, but George and Hazel couldn't think about it very hard. Hazel had a perfectly average intelligence, which meant she couldn't think about anything except in short bursts. And George, while his intelligence was way above normal, had a little mental handicap radio in his ear. He was required by law to wear it at all times. It was tuned to a government transmitter. Every 20 seconds or so, the transmitter would send out some sharp noise to keep people like George from taking unfair advantage of their brains. George and Hazel were watching television. There were tears on Hazel's cheeks, but she had forgotten for the moment what they were about. On the television screen were ballerinas. A buzzer sounded in George's head. His thoughts fled in panic, like bandits from a burglar alarm.
"That was a real pretty dance, that dance they just did," said Hazel.
"Huh?" said George.
"That dance, it was nice," said Hazel.
"Yep," said George. He tried to think a little about the ballerinas. They weren't really very good, no better than anybody else would have been, anyway. They were burdened with sash weights and bags of birdshot, and their faces were masked so that no one, seeing a free and graceful gesture or a pretty face, would feel like something the cat drug in. George was toying with the vague notion that maybe dancers shouldn't be handicapped, but he didn't get very far with it before another noise in his ear radio scattered his thoughts. George winced. So did two out of the eight ballerinas. Hazel saw him wince. Having no mental handicap herself, she had to ask George what the latest sound had been.
"It sounded like somebody hitting a milk bottle with a ball-peen hammer," said George.
"I'd think it would be real interesting hearing all the different sounds," said Hazel, a little envious. "All the things they think up."
Said George.
"Only, if I was Handicapper General, you know what I would do?"
said Hazel. Hazel, as a matter of fact, bore a strong resemblance to the Handicapper General, a woman named Diana Moon Glampers.
"If I was Diana Moon Glampers," said Hazel, "I'd have chimes on Sunday, just chimes, kind of in honor of religion."
"I could think, if it was just chimes," said George.
"Well, maybe make 'em real loud," said Hazel. "I think I'd make a good Handicapper General."
"Good as anybody else," said George.
"Who knows better than I do what normal is?" said Hazel.
"Right," said George. He began to think glimmeringly about his abnormal son who was now in jail, about Harrison, but a 21-gun salute in his head stopped that.
"Boy,"
said Hazel.
"That was a doozy, wasn't it?"
It was such a doozy that George was white and trembling, and tears stood on the rims of his red eyes. Two of the eight ballerinas had collapsed to the studio floor, were holding their temples.
All of a sudden, you look so tired, said Hazel. Why don't you stretch out on the sofa so you can rest your handicap bag on the pillows, honey bunch?
She was referring to the 47 pounds of birdshot in a canvas bag, which was padlocked around George's neck.
Go on and rest the bag for a little while, she said. I don't care if you're not equal to me for a while.
George weighed the bag with his hands. I don't mind it, he said. I don't notice it anymore. It's just a part of me.
You've been so tired lately, kind of wore out, said Hazel. If there was just some way we could make a little hole in the bottom of the bag and just take out a few of them lead balls, just a few.
2 years in prison and $2,000 fine for every ball I took out, said George. I don't call that a bargain.
If you could just take a few out when you came home from work, said Hazel. I mean, you don't compete with anybody around here, you just sit around.
If I tried to get away with it, said George, then other people would get away with it, and pretty soon we'd be right back to the Dark Ages again, with everybody competing against everybody else. You wouldn't like that, would you?
I'd hate it, said Hazel.
There you are, said George. The minute people start cheating on laws, what do you think happens to society? If Hazel hadn't been able to come up with an answer to this question, George couldn't have supplied one. A siren was going off in his head.
Forgotten Life Path by Aphex Twin from a recently released addition to his famous Come to Daddy EP. You're listening to Robbie's Modern Life on FBR Radio. My name's Robbie Armfield, and here is part two of Kurt Vonnegut's short story, Harrison Bergeron.
Reckon it'd fall all apart?
Said Hazel. What would? Said George blankly.
Society,
said Hazel uncertainly.
What's that you just said?
Who knows, said George. The television program was suddenly interrupted for a news bulletin. It wasn't clear at first as to what the bulletin was about, since the announcer, like all announcers, had a serious speech impediment. For about half a minute, and in a state of high excitement, the announcer tried to say, "Ladies and gentlemen." He finally gave up and handed the bulletin to a ballerina to read.
That's all right,
Hazel said of the announcer.
He tried. That's the big thing. He tried to do the best he could with what God gave him. He should get a nice raise for trying so hard. Ladies and gentlemen,
said the ballerina, reading the bulletin.
She must have been extraordinarily beautiful because the mask she wore was hideous, and it was easy to see that she was the strongest and most graceful of all the dancers, for her handicap bags were as big as those worn by 200-pound men. And she had to apologize at once for her voice, which was a very unfair voice for a woman to use. Her voice was a warm, luminous, timeless melody.
"Excuse me,"
she said, and she began again, making her voice absolutely uncompetitive.
"Harrison Bergeron, age 14,
she said in a grackle squawk,
"has just escaped from jail, where he was held on suspicion of plotting to overthrow the government. He is a genius and an athlete, is upper handicapped and should be regarded as extremely dangerous."
A police photograph of Harrison Bergeron was flashed on the screen upside down, then sideways, upside down again, then right side up. The picture showed the full length of Harrison against a backdrop calibrated in feet and inches. He was exactly 7 feet tall. The rest of Harrison's appearance was Halloween and hardware. Nobody had ever borne heavier handicaps. He had outgrown hindrances faster than the HG men could think them up. Instead of a little car radio for a mental handicap, he wore a tremendous pair of earphones and spectacles with thick wavy lenses. The spectacles were intended to make him not only half-blind, but to give him whanging headaches besides. Scrap metal was hung all over him. Ordinarily, there was a certain symmetry, a military neatness to the handicaps issued to strong people. But Harrison looked like a walking junkyard. In the race of life, Harrison carried 300 pounds. And to offset his good looks, the HG men required that he wear at all times a red rubber ball for a nose, keep his eyebrows shaved off, and cover his even white teeth with black caps at snaggletooth random.
"If you see this boy," said the ballerina, "do not, I repeat, do not try to reason with him."
There was the shriek of a door being torn from its hinges. Screams and barking cries of consternation came from the television set. The photograph of Harrison Bergeron on the screen jumped again and again, as though dancing to the tune of an earthquake. George Bergeron correctly identified the earthquake, and well he might have, for many was the time his own home had danced to the same crashing tune. "My God," said George, "that must be Harrison." The realization was blasted from his mind instantly by the sound of an automobile collision in his head.
Transmission. Fall to fall. Fall.
Lost in Translation 1 there by Infinite Bizou from his album With Love. The guitarist of Conan Moccasin's live iteration there. You're listening to RML on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. My name's Robbie Armfield. We're beginning the episode today with a reading of Kurt Vonnegut's short story Harrison Bergeron. And without further ado, here is part 3.
When George could open his eyes again, the photograph of Harrison was gone. A living, breathing Harrison filled the screen. Clanking, clownish, and huge, Harrison stood in the corner of the studio. The knob of the uprooted studio door was still in his hands. Ballerinas, technicians, musicians, and announcers cowered on their knees before him, expecting to die.
"I am the Emperor," cried Harrison. "Do you hear? I am the Emperor. Everybody must do what I say at once."
He stamped his foot and the studio shook.
"Even as I stand here," he bellowed, "crippled, hobbled, sickened, I am the greater ruler than any man who ever lived. Now watch me become what I can become."
Harrison tore the straps of his handicap harness like wet tissue paper, tore straps guaranteed to support 5,000 pounds. Harrison's scrap iron handicaps crashed to the floor. Harrison thrust his thumbs under the bar of the padlock that secured his head harness. The bar snapped like celery. Harrison smashed his headphones and spectacles against the wall. He flung away his rubber ball nose, revealed a man that would have awed Thor, the god of thunder.
"I shall now elect my empress," he said, looking down on the cowering people. "Let the first woman who dares rise to her feet claim her mate and her throne."
A moment passed, and then a ballerina arose, swaying like a willow. Harrison plucked the mental handicap from her ear, snapped off her physical handicaps with marvelous delicacy. Last of all, he removed her mask. She was blindingly beautiful.
"Now," said Harrison, taking her hand, "shall we show the people the meaning of the word dance? Music!"
he commanded. The musicians scrambled back into their chairs, and Harrison stripped them of their handicaps too.
"Play your best," he told them, "and I'll make you barons and dukes and earls."
The music began. It was normal at first, cheap, silly, false. But Harrison snatched two musicians from their chairs, waved them like batons as he sang the music as he wanted it played. He slammed them back into their chairs. The music began again and was much improved. Harrison and his empress merely listened to the music for a while, listened gravely as though synchronizing their heartbeats with it. They shifted their weights to their toes. Harrison placed his big hands on the girl's tiny waist, letting her sense the weightlessness that would soon be hers. And then, in an explosion of joy and grace, into the air they sprang. Not only were the laws of the land abandoned, but the law of gravity and the laws of motion as well. They reeled, whirled, swiveled, flounced, capered, gambled, and spun. They leaped like deer on the moon. The studio ceiling was 30 feet high, but each leap brought the dancers nearer to it. It became their obvious intention to kiss the ceiling. They kissed it. And then, neutraling gravity with love and pure will, they remained suspended in air inches below the ceiling, and they kissed each other for a long, long time. It was then that Diana Moon Glampers, the handicapper general, came into the studio with a double-barreled 10-gauge shotgun. She fired twice, and the Emperor and the Empress were dead before they hit the floor. Diana Moon Glampers loaded the gun again. She aimed it at the musicians and told them they had 10 seconds to get their handicaps back on. It was then that the Bergeron's television tube burned out. Hazel turned to comment about the blackout to George, but George had gone out into the kitchen for a can of beer. George came back in with the beer, paused while a handicap signal shook him up, and then he sat down again. "You've been crying," he said to Hazel.
"Yep,"
she said. "What about?" he said.
"I forget,"
she said.
"Something real sad on television."
"What was it?" he said.
"It's all kind of mixed up in my mind,"
said Hazel. "Forget sad things," said George.
"I always do,"
said Hazel. "That's my girl," said George. He winced.
There was the sound of a riveting gun in his head.
Gee, I could tell that one was a doozy, said Hazel.
You can say that again, said George.
Gee,
said Hazel.
I could tell that one was a doozy.
Wisdom Eye by Alice Coltrane from her beautiful album, Eternity.
You've got to tune to Robbie's Modern Life on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. I'm Robbie Armfield. With me is Mitchell Jacy.
Mitchell Jacy.
Bernie Bolgi.
Bernie Bolgi.
Boys, how are we today? How have we been going? I mean, I obviously see you boys every week at this time. Monday, midday till one. But how have we been feeling, Bernie?
Look, I've been feeling... all right. It's a bit overcast today. So, I feel a bit lethargic on days like this.
Yeah.
A bit thoughtful. I look back on my past and I reflect.
Was there a particular incident that you're reflecting on?
Actually, yeah, I have. Oh, gosh. There's this big... okay. Well, yesterday morning, I was backing up out of my driveway and I was backing up, just foot on the pedal and, looking over my shoulder. And this absolute maniac just hoons around the corner and swipes. He swipes my Kia Sorento, right? Absolutely out of nowhere. My heart was in my freaking throat. I thought I was a goner. I thought this guy's going to clean me up. I'm going to end up in hospital.
Jesus.
Anyway, this shook me up, not for the better. That's all I have to say, really.
That sounds like a horrific
story. That's pretty intense. Yeah. Actually, but that what is interesting, though, is that's actually really similar to something that happened to me recently.
You got a story as well?
No, I've got a story as well, actually, about that. This was back on Friday, mid-morning-ish?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, out the front of your house?
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, this, yeah, definitely very similar then, right? So, all right, get this. I'm doing my morning drift, careening about this, like, epic blind corner while texting my girl. And then tire skids, screeching, burning rubber, everything's going out of whack. And then out of nowhere, this freaking absolute maniac just pulls the car back out of his driveway, completely oblivious to the tarmac, and swipes me and almost rides my Black Pearl Nissan Altima off the road.
What the heck?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Dude, that's I mean, that's
terrifying.
Yeah, that sounds horrendous. This is on, was it Friday mid-morning?
Friday mid-morning.
Outside yours, Bernie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's my story.
Yeah, but you know how I do the sort of paper round near your place?
Yeah, you've dropped in a couple of times unwarranted.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I was just doing my round as I do on that Friday mid-morning. I think I saw... A crash, like, of some...
My Nissan Altima.
Of some significance, yeah. Well, a Nissan Altima and a Kia Sorento.
No.
Somebody backing out of your driveway, Bernie, and...
There was a Sorento backing out of his driveway.
What I usually see on the Friday mid-morning sort of paper round is, as you sort of mentioned, Mitchell, you have that regular kind of route that you drift around. But usually...
My mid-morning drift, yeah.
But usually what happens is you don't connect with anything. Certainly not a Kia Sorento. Certainly not a Kia Sorento backing out of Bernie's driveway.
That's kind of unlucky for you because usually, I mean, when I drive my car around, I don't expect things like this to happen. And it's kind of weird that both these, you know, happened to both of us the same day.
I mean, interestingly enough, I definitely get clipped by a lot of cars on my morning drift. But this one was just a bit more interesting in that it was coming out of your driveway, Bernie.
And I definitely bear witness to... a lot of your antics in that regard, Mitchell, I have to say.
Fair share.
Well, time's up well, doesn't it? I mean, your Friday...
My Friday morning drift.
Yeah, the Friday morning drift. And your paper rounds is almost timed up, like, just perfectly.
It's timed to perfection. Now, I'm just going to stop us here if I can.
Oh.
Rewind.
Hang on.
Now, you listening at home, you've just heard a couple of anecdotes, right? What I'm not sure that you heard was the moonwalking gorilla going right through the center of all those anecdotes. And I just wonder, would you notice it again if you heard that story again? Okay, boys, one more time.
Let's hear it again.
And a speedier version.
Okay,
Bernie,
so...
Yeah, wait, and a... So... Bernie, do the honours.
Okay, so Friday morning, pulling out of my driveway, and Kia Sorento, that's my car, gets swiped. What an absolute maniac, the other car. Mitch, that's odd, actually, had an interesting thing. Mid-morning Friday, yep. Yeah, out the front of your place. Yeah. So I'm flying past, careening around in my Nissan Altima, and as I take this corner blindly, texting my girl, I just fly past and I get...
You're texting and driving.
I was texting and driving, but usually it's fine. And I just... come skidding past and I get sideswiped by this guy.
That's so funny because as I was doing my regular morning paper round, watching the mid-morning drift occur as I usually do, I saw a Kia Sorento get absolutely sideswiped by another Nissan Altima that morning.
And scene. Now, I'm sure at that time you could very plainly hear the gorilla moonwalking through the center stage of such a scene. This is the reason...
That
texting and driving is so horrendous and horrific. The sole reason that you were not able to hear the moonwalking gorilla in that scene is because you were presumably texting or you were thinking about such a thing. This is a community announcement. We've constructed this subversive advertisement. It's a community service to bring about the message of no texting and driving. And I think we all agree on that particular point, don't we, boys? A lot of people driving around today in the Sydney area, listening to the station that you're on currently, FBI Radio 94.5 FM, maybe you have a few thoughts and opinions on how that particular anecdote segment, that community service announcement, was conducted. So please let us know those thoughts and opinions by texting in. The number is 0409-945-945. You're listening to Robbie's Modern Life on FBI Radio.
Jardin by Actress, the impeccable track from his wonderful album R.I.P.
Welcome back. Robbie's Modern Life, FBR Radio. Robbie Armfield, Mitchell, JC, Bernie, Bolgi are the boys
what's
you're
up,
currently
what's
with.
Up?
excited to be here, Rob. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks
Same
for having
as
us,
every
Robbie.
Week, I guess, but it's awesome to be here nonetheless.
Still waiting on my pay.
A couple of weeks ago, we officially launched the Facebook page of this particular show to wide acclaim, huge acclaim. Obviously, we had a live studio audience here, and it was just an absolute barnstorm of a time. So, we just want to let you know, listeners, that that Facebook page is still up and running, and we've just uploaded a picture that currently has zero likes. We're going to kindly need you to jump on board and smack that motherfucking like button right up the top there. We're kindly waiting on someone to hit that first like, move on to the next segment of the show, but we need you to first hit that like. So we're going to need you to smack that. Okay, yeah. We're going to need you to smack that.
Someone can kindly just smack that like button so we can rest easy and have comfort in the fact that there is at least one like on the photo.
Guys, we're going to need at least 200 likes on the page before I can feel satisfied with my life.
First things first,
we'd love to be bringing you new, exciting content, but we simply cannot move on until we get a like, a comment, or a share on this page going.
Smack that. Just react. Smack that react.
Smack that. You found. Oi. Hey, you there. Jump on Facebook. Jump on the page. Smack that like button. And then we can move on to the next segment nice and quick. We've got heaps of content that we really want to bring to you today. Might I say, we have a mighty fine playlist. And us mighty fine boys in the studio with personalities like absolute diamonds. And we want to bring that to you, to the fore. But we can't until you smack that motherfucking like button.
We're basically held hostage by you, the listener, and not smacking that like button.
Yeah, okay, I just got the page here. I'm just refreshing it. We still do not have a like, guys. It's not very funny anymore. We know you're intentionally
minutes long, not a single
show. Yeah,
like,
if you just go ahead and smack that like button, we could finish with this segment.
Okay, and boom, baby. There we go. You've smacked it, and we responded. Hey, thank you so much to Ginny Weasley for liking the page. That is your ex. She is a tosser. She is a slag bag, but we appreciate her efforts in smacking like that like. Now we can move swiftly on to the next segment of the show, Hottest Names of Summer 2017. Sometimes you just need a win. These are the hottest names of summer 2017. It should be noted that these names are not good baby names. These are simply the best names to be blessed with this summer. Let's hope your name pops up in this list of summer 2017's hottest names.
Yes!
We've got so many. I'm just going to rattle off
starting at the top of the list. What do we got, Rob?
Chad Brundwick, Raphael Hunkworthy, Stacey McCowrey, Bernie,
Harold Hardknob, Grey Chad, Chadley Christoph, Jerry Chad, Jerry Cock, Mitch, we got some more.
We got a few more. This one you might have heard in the dog pics. This is Qantas Cock. He's looking good this summer. We got Facebook Jeeves, we got Harry Turville, we got Rardknob, and we got Sophie. We got Arglebond, Hogsnort. What else we got, Rob?
Thanks, Mitchell. Hey, back to the hottest names of summer 2017 on RML and FBI Radio. Here are a couple more for you, for the listener now, listening now. We've got Rental Smith. We've got Rental as a name. And finishing up here, hey, it's you out there, Je suis Montgomery.
If you have that name, you have one of the hottest names of summer 2017.
Get excited if you heard your name out there. You are going to be raking in so much blessings this summer.
What are we going to be raking in? That's for you to find out. Yeah, and might I say, it is such a wonderful thing to be finding that out. Next up, we've got the dullest, flat, boring loser names of the summer. Pray to God that your name doesn't appear amidst these shockers. These are the names and shames that straight up didn't make the cut. And actually, each and every one of these is just a flop of a name for the coming summer of 2017. Mitchell, hit us up with a cover of these losers.
All right at the top, we got Stiffy Chalkboard. God, I hope you are not listening, because you are going to have an awful summer. We got Shootin' Boot. We got Terry Hills. We're looking at Chicken Tendies and Zelda Milkies. Bernie?
We got my mum. Chin for Chan, Africa George. Lynx Africa James. Honestly, if you have any of these names,
you're going to want to
tap out for the summer. You're going
to want to start to tap We've got Lynx Africa James. I don't know. I think that was mentioned.
I think that was mentioned.
Beyblade for Hire. Rental as a Horse. Yugi Jojo. Crocodile Joseph. And obviously your boy, Alligator Stan.
Terrible.
There you
names.
Go. The hottest and nottest names of the summer 2K17. If you're driving around, we want to hear from you. Text in. The number is 0409-945-945. You're listening to FBI Radio with Robbie's Modern Life. Hit it!
Silver Mist by Tex Crick from his most recent and beautiful album, Between Cruel and Tender.
Open up a new, you might
get
want
up
to
that
open,
incognito tab.
Yeah, you might want to open a new incognito FBI new, stream.
You might want an incognito tab for this stream.
wait.
Delete your history right now.
You're listening. Hey, welcome back. You've got to tune to Robbie's Modern Life with Robbie Armfield, Mitchell JC, and Bernie Bolgi on your dial, FBI Radio 94.5 FM, or on digital, streaming DAB, or online at the FBI website, whatever that is. So we'd love you to text in your thoughts and feelings on the show. We'd love to bring you the highest, most premium comedy. The number is 0409-945-945. In line with that feeling of bringing you the premium comedy, we like to make characters that are tangible and real, and most of all, funny. We're going to let you in on a peek of the creative process today as to how we like to sort of bring the magic to you, show you as it is how the magic happens. Mitchell has been working on a kind of British style character, is that right?
Oh yeah, oh I have, haven't I?
Straight into it. Wow.
And who's this Mitchell you speak of?
He's ducked out to the loo, has he?
Okay.
What was your name?
And so he's... And so what's your name?
I'm Dalton the Fourth. A wizard of the highest of God.
Ah, that's...
Wow.
That's really good, Mitch. I like that one. And so what's his story?
His backstory? My backstory?
I worked my way to the top. My mother was a farmer. My father sold bread. He was a yeasty man, might I say. And through hard toil, I eventually rose to rule a castle.
It sounds like a kind of ripoff of like a Monty Python type character, if I'm honest. Is that, you're aware of them? Or?
I mean, I watched it the other day.
Yeah. Okay. Bernie, have you had any ideas recently?
Yeah, actually, I've got a gunslinger.
Ah, I like this one.
Yeah.
Oh, are they going to have a competing sort of verbal joust?
Oh, they just might.
The bounty for the bounty on your head is actually quite reasonably.
Sizable.
It's quite reasonably high. Ooh. Sir Dalton?
Oh, is it? Oh!
You know...
Oh, boys, I'm loving this. This is actually making me start to think of a character. I'm sorry.
Oh, are you mulling something up in your head now?
Try something. Voltron Destroyer. Voltron.
How would these guys exist in the same place?
Voltron Destroyer of Worlds, coming to you in the year 2043, yes, back in time.
The bounty on your head is actually quite...
I will destroy all of you.
Gotta catch me first!
Yeah, I don't know, sorry. It was just funny.
It just makes it more interesting if you've got a backstory. Yeah.
Comedy is about surprise. That's pretty good. It's about bringing the kind of... it's about bringing the laughs, bringing that surprise to the audience. I love that one, Bernie. I love that one, Mitch. And boys, what do you think of mine?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. That was pretty good. Yeah. You know what's best?
I like it, It's kind of like... It's just interesting.
Yeah, I just
kind of... No, I really do like it. Yeah, I don't know.
Can I just cut you guys off there for a second? I mean, it's best with improv comedy to be like, yes, man. It's more, it's about yes and.
Yeah.
For anybody out there that's interested in being a funny guy and having some characters on hand ready to go. If you're in a social scenario, let me tell you, everyone respects a good character. So you just want to whip that out. Toot sweet. You're listening to Robbie's Modern Life on FBR Radio 94.5 FM.
Cemetery Party by Air from their wonderful album, The Virgin Suicides.
You're currently listening to Leaked, Game of Thrones, yeah. Season 4, Episode 9.
She took the note.
Has little fingers like
that. Yes, believe me, Sansa.
Sansa, there's only one thing that's standing in between me and the eerie.
My knee.
Yes, we need to go north of the wall. Sansa.
Yes, Khaleesi.
Give me the letter. The letter is the only thing that is standing between me and the Iron Throne. Give me the letter, Sansa.
Oh my god. What you have to realize is that I am Tyrion Lannister.
So fucking all over the show. You have to say the name.
What? Jon Snow.
I'm Jon Snow. We have to go north of the wall, okay?
So close. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
You Khaleesi. Know. Khaleesi, you know nothing.
Sansa, you must give me the letter. It's the only thing standing in between me and the Iron Throne.
The first sword of Braavos does not run.
Yep. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back. Hi, you're listening to Robbie, Bernie and Mitchell.
Correct.
On FBI Radio 94.5 FM, the show called RML, or affectionately otherwise known as Robbie's Modern Life. Just to let you know, we have a Facebook page up and running now, and we'd love you to smack that like on it. It's called, funnily enough, Robbie's Modern Life. Now, though, it's time for a fun, new little game, similar to Guess Who. It's kind of like a mix between Guess Who and Channel 7's Survivor. Calling people out, that's individuals, groups and categories, to tune out of this show. Pretty much, we're going to call people out and then you have to tune out if your name gets read out or if your activity gets called out. The last person surviving wins and will receive, we are happy to announce, a strawberry Yogo prize pack.
God damn, that is tasty.
Absolutely. The winner, though, will have to text in to claim the prize on 0409-945-945 with your name and in 25 words or less why you think you're the best winner. Obviously, this is to sift through the multiple winners, quote unquote, we will have people claiming to be. All right, straight off the bat there, Dan Gordon, if you're listening, tune out
Dan.
Now.
Unlucky.
Next up, Mitchell, who are we looking at? Who needs to tune out?
If you are listening on DAB, tune the hell out now.
Ooh, that would have taken quite a big chunk out of our listenership, I'd say.
I reckon you might be right. Okay, how about this? This is the game, as I mentioned, tune out. Anyone who's currently eating something, hot food, cold food, anything at all.
What else? Chips, a salad. Corn, nuts.
Pork rind.
Pork rind.
Yogos.
Donuts.
Fruit roll-ups. Right. Pork crackles. You eating those right now. Ham off the bone. Juicy pork crackles. Tune out right now. We don't want anything more to do with you, and neither does this game.
You're out!
Next up, we got anybody chewing gum?
Get out of here.
Tune out. Twist that dial right down to zero.
Tune out.
Next up, anybody with white kicks in their sneaker collection, you can stay, actually. Haha. But anyone with red shoes,
get out of here.
Tune out.
Psych white shoes too. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Sandals, tune out. You can stay. Sandals, you can stay.
Thongs? You
get
can stay.
Tune out. We've got the final few rounds here. It's a quick fire round. Okay, tune out if you weigh more than 60 kilograms per second. Tune out now if that's the case. And also, tune out if you have not had a swig of Sprite in the last 24 hours. Hey, are you there listening now? Tune out.
Get on those Sprites.
Tune out. You got to tune out. And finally here, tune out if you enjoy this show. If you enjoy this show that you're listening to right now, Robbie's Modern Life, you, what a curveball this is, you got to tune out of this show. If you're on the DAB, you got the white shoes. If you like the show, get out of here. Stop listening and don't ever text in. The number to text in is 0409-945. Who's the winner? Who's left? Who's the winner?
Drivers.
I'm just gonna wait. People are driving. It's driving right now. People are driving their cars around. Super disgusting. Texting. 945945. I bet you didn't notice that we also had a little fire engine running through the middle of that segment. But if we play...
take it back.
If we take it right back to the beginning there. Okay, text in if you're left. The number is 049-94-94. You're listening to Robbie's Modern Life, FBR Radio. Thank you very much for being with us. Well, I'm Robbie, and with me is Bernie.
Who?
You're with your Bernie.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm with me. I'm Bernie.
And also
Mitchell JC.
Mitchell JC here. So
excited actually, to be. I'm excited for the show.
It's a funny turn of events, boys, but we're out of here.
Oh.
So if you are texting and saying that you're the winner of the tune out game, you're going to have to wait till next week. We have a weekly show.
Tune back in, everybody.
Tune back in to see if you won, and then we'll tell you again whether you need to tune the hell out again. But you're going to have to tune in to find that out again. So anyway, we're here every Monday, midday to 1 p.m. On your dial, DAB, digital streaming, and on the FM airwaves at 94.5 FM. But it's goodbye from us here. It's goodbye from Mitchell JC.
Mitchell JC.
Goodbye from Bernie Bolgi.
It's a goodbye from me, Bernie Bolgi.
And me, Robbie Armfield. Thank you so much for listening. Now, though, you're going to be hearing the show, The Playlist, with music director of FBI, Amelia Jenner. She's going to be offering you a tasty playlist of tunes and announcing the FBI album of the week. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Stay safe. We love you. And we'll see you next week. Same time, Monday, midday till 1.
Don't text and drive.
See ya.
Ciao. Don't text and drive. Ciao.
An Ending Ascent by Brian Eno from his wonderful album, Apollo Atmospheres and Soundtracks. Goodbye.